You know, when you consider how blessed we are overwhelmed. We are so blessed, are we not? I wonder whether you've ever stopped to consider this question. Why would a holy, righteous God choose to bless any human? Why would he choose to bless us? Why would God shower any human being with his blessings? Folks, I mean this in a loving way, but it certainly cannot because we deserve it. Because all of us have sinned, we've all fallen short of God's glory. There's none righteous, no, not even one. We know the truth of that ourselves. Maybe to think from a slightly different perspective as we come to this psalm tonight, to think of how God would choose to bless Israel. Israel had rejected God over on so many occasions. In fact, ever since her inception, she was a rebellious nation, an idolatrous nation, even an immoral nation. What possible reason could God ever have to still want to bless Israel? In many ways, this question is found, or certainly in part, it's found in this psalm tonight. Now, we didn't read it tonight, but notice again the superscription which is there on this psalm. It was written for the choir director, which again, it's something that's an indication for us that this is something that should be communicated publicly. It also says there, interestingly enough, that it was a psalm that actually should be accompanied with the string instruments. In other words, you know, the string instruments were instruments that were played for as a soothing of the heart and the soul of people. So this psalm is a psalm which is, we should expect to soothe us. And it is soothing because what we learn from this psalm is a great deal about God's grace. I don't think there's anything more soothing than to talk about the graciousness of God. We learn why God graciously blesses his people. So as we see for this psalm, this is what we see. The reason why God graciously blesses the people is so that others will fear God, so that others will be drawn to his word, so that others will be drawn to his ways. And when God blesses his people, there is no question that his people greatly benefit from him, because they are recipients of his blessing. I was really blessed today. I don't know whether anybody managed to catch Songs of Praise today. On Songs of Praise, there was one of our friends. In fact, he was one of the students when I was lecturing at the Bible College many, many years ago, Nigel Johnson. Nigel is the CEO of a Christian Adventure Centre up in the Highlands of Scotland, and he was interviewed on Songs of Praise this afternoon. It was lovely to see him. Suzanne and I haven't seen him for many, many years. He was looking an awful lot greyer than he was, but then again, I can't really talk, can I? But one of the blessings I got is I remember when Nigel and his dear wife, Robin, came to the college many, many years ago, probably at least 20 plus years ago, probably 24 years ago when I first met them. And they were a young couple, and then they came with fear and intrepidation, not knowing where the Lord was leading them. And Nigel had a very, very troubled background. He was born in the height of the Troubles, and one particular night he was greatly affected because there was a massive explosion next to him, and his best friend was killed, and he lived with the horror and the fear that engendered in his heart for so many years. But by the goodness of God and the blessings and the graciousness of God, God really, really helped Nigel to overcome some of the difficulties, and now to see him there with the blessings of God, recipients of God's abundant blessing, as he testified on national TV of the wonder of God's creation, of the depth of God's love for each and every one of us, now he is now being used of God to share that love with young people and others as well. There's no doubt when God blesses us, we are recipients of his blessings. We receive wonderful things to enjoy. But you know, another reason why God blesses his people is to bring others to the point where they will fear him, where they will be drawn to him as well. When other people see God's hand of blessing, they will want to be a part of it. And as a result, some will desire to get into a right relationship with God. It's something that Paul said in Romans 11 and verse 11. He said this, the purpose of God's salvation coming to the Gentiles is to make Israel envious. So that his ancient people who have rejected him may turn and fear and believe and be saved. That's what Paul said in Romans 11. God blesses us that others may want to be blessed by him too. And you know, that is the theme of this psalm as we come to this psalm tonight. In verse 1, you notice there, it begins with, God be gracious to us and bless us. Carefully notice the basis of the blessing. The basis of the request is the psalmist, who could have been David. We're not sure. There's always a sort of an unwritten rule that if it doesn't say David, that if you look back and it doesn't say another name, that it more than likely could have been David. But we're not sure about that. But the psalmist, whoever it was, asks for God's blessing. And he says the basis of the blessing is because you are a God of grace. The grace of God becomes the foundation then of the blessings of God. God does not owe any human his blessings. In fact, when you think about it, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what he actually owed them was death. That's what he said to them. He said, do not eat from the tree of life. If you do, you will die. That's what he owed them. That's what they deserve. That's what we all deserve. But in pure grace, he let them live. And then he blessed them in so many ways. The fact that God has loved you, the fact that God has opened your eyes to see his love, to see the demonstration of his love through the Lord Jesus Christ. In one sense, folks, that should be enough for us. The fact that he's birthed us into his body, that he's given us life. But the incredible thing is, yeah, he then showers blessing upon us. And so grace is the foundation of every blessing that we have. It's grace that saves us. It's grace that forgives us our sins. It's grace that gives us blessings. And until one has experienced the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot experience the blessings of God. There is no question that God promises to reward faithfulness. We saw that this morning in our text. The Lord says that no one leaves homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children for me and for the sake of the gospel without receiving a hundredfold. But even this is purely God's grace. We don't deserve anything. And yet he promises blessings for faithfulness. The very fact that he rewards faithfulness means the avenue most take is the avenue of unfaithfulness. The path of unfaithfulness is one we have all been down many, many times. And so when, as he does in these scriptures, when God promises to reward faithfulness, he obviously assumes that this will motivate some of his people to get off the path of unfaithfulness and get on back on the path of faithfulness. So it is pure grace that he offers us any blessings. So with that said, let's turn again to our passage tonight. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. You know, the idea which is conjured up there in verse 1 of God shining his face upon us was the idea of God looking favorably on the case of Israel and shining forth his blessing upon them, his blessing of prosperity, of protection, of provision. Why I say that? Well, because the psalmist uses the language of that Aaronic prayer, that prayer that we know from Numbers 6 and 22. It says this, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace, so that they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. You know, this is a passage which we often use at weddings or even at dedications or at any time when we're praying God's gracious blessing upon people, that God would graciously shine forth his blessing, his face upon them. But what the psalmist does is he asks God to pour out his blessing on his people by his grace. Any blessing we receive are blessings we do not merit or we deserve. And so the remainder of the psalm here gives reasons why David, or the psalmist as it could have been, whoever it was, asks God for his blessings. The seven of these all together, the first one we see there in verse 2, when God blesses his people, it makes a statement about God's ways. Verse 2, it says there, that your ways may be known on the earth. When nations saw God bless Israel, they realized that Israel as a nation was walking in the right ways of God. And therefore, God blessed them. God may be made known by those who have experienced his grace. Do you know, when God blesses you and I, it communicates to others that when you pursue the ways of God, you too will receive the blessings of God. So when God blesses us, when his favor is on us, it makes an amazing statement to his ways so that everyone around us can see. You know, God's blessing on your life, it makes a powerful statement for those, to those around you. Secondly, you notice there that when God blesses his people, it makes a statement about God's salvation as well. The second part of verse 2, it says, your salvation among the nations, that your ways may be known on the earth, and that your salvation among all the nations. When God blesses his people, he says to others, those people who are in the right relationship with me, blessings are a testimony that people might need to get into a right relationship with the Lord. One of the great witness statements for the need of salvation is through the blessings of God. The psalmist says, God blesses that his ways may be known. You know, people today are ignorant of God's ways. People don't understand their need of a savior. People today certainly don't understand the judgment of God that is looming. I suppose we could question who is at fault because of that. Is it the people's fault themselves? Is it because they choose not to see the God of creation? Well, the writer in Romans, and Paul in Romans, actually emphasizes that point, that God has revealed himself. We could blame the government as well. We could blame because of the policies the government makes that people are blinded to these things as well. But you know, the word of God says that we have been made custodians of his word. We have been made custodians of God's way. We are those who are to communicate, to tell others the wonderful ways, the things that God has done, the salvation that belongs to God. God's blessing on us is to be a testimony to those around us, that they may see God's salvation. Do you know, when other people on this earth saw how God blessed Israel, it testified that of their need to get in the right relationship with God so that they would experience themselves many blessings. Paul says to the Ephesians that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That's you and I. You and I have received so many blessings from God, spiritual blessings. But he goes on to say in Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised up Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. When God saves, we become living testimonies to God's saving grace. We should be people who demonstrate an enjoyment of life so that others will want the salvation that we have. You know, when we just demonstrate the joy that we have because of our salvation, others are drawn to want that salvation. Others are drawn because of the blessings of God on you. Thirdly, when God blesses his people, it promotes praise among the people as well. When God shines his blessing on his people, it causes his people to praise him. It's interesting, that particular word there that the Hebrew uses for people in verse 3, it's one that emphasizes a collective relationship, a group of people, a race or a family or a body of people coming together. Verse 3 appears to me to emphasize that when God blesses his people, it causes all the people of God to praise him. That's what it's referencing there. May the people of God praise him. In fact, one commentator observed, the more we offer praise to God, the more we are blessed by God. People who are right with God will have a sense that this is from God. They will be moved to offer praise to him. It goes on, and according to verse 4, when God blesses Israel, other nations will also be led to praise God. They will be glad, they will be jealous, and they will sing as well. You know, when God blesses his people, all the people around him will be glad and will sing for joy. Fourthly, when God blesses his people, it is a statement about righteous judgment. Verse 4 in the second part, it says this: may the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people justly. When God blesses those who are right with him, it also means he is judging those who are not right with him. It says there that he judges rightly. So those who are right with him are getting his blessing, and those who are not getting his blessing. Do you know, there is clearly an eschatological point here. It looks to the day when God will be here on earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he judges the whole earth, when he will be pouring out his righteous blessing and righteous judgment, when he will rule the people justly, and many will sing for joy. Fifthly, when God blesses his people, he gives guidance to the nations. That's the third part, that last part of verse 4. And guide the nations of the earth, for you rule the peoples justly, and you guide the nations of the earth. This all comes out again of God's gracious blessing upon his people. He guides people in the way they ought to be moving, in the way in which they should be living. God's blessing say to all of us, walk this way. Walk in the way of my blessing. Just think about that for one moment. There is a sealer there, which we don't always say, but we know that that sealer means to pause, just to stop, just to think about our lives. I wonder whether we always walk in ways that would cause God to bless. I wonder whether we always think about things that God would bless. We always say things that God would bless. But when God blesses his people, he guides us to do that which is right, that which is honorable in his sight. Sixthly, when God blesses his people, all the people praise him. Not just the people of God, but all the people begin to praise him. Verse 5 and 6, it's a repetition here from verse 1. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. It's interesting because there's a slight difference in the word there of people. Before, it was a small group of people, a collective group. But now it's an expansion, all the peoples to praise God. You know, when God blesses his people, because of his graciousness, the nations around, the people around benefit too as well. Look what it says, the earth will yield its produce. You know, when God blesses us at home gate, it spills over to others as well. The community is blessed because of God's blessing on us. That is just pure grace at work. And seventhly and finally for tonight, when God blesses his people, it promotes fear of God. Verse 7, God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. You know, the blessings of God should promote a reverence towards God. People should stand in awe of what God has done and what God is going to do as well. What is so tragic these days is that many who have experienced God's grace do not have a reverent awe of God. You know, it's no wonder that the world does not stand in fear or in awe of God when the church doesn't stand in fear in awe of God anymore. You know, when Israel as a nation didn't fear God, the people around them no longer feared God. They didn't see God as a threat. They didn't see God's judgment. In fact, they didn't revere him in any way at all. But when Israel was right, when they were in the right relationship with God in reverent fear, they would worship him. Do you know it had an incredible effect upon the nations around them? And the nations began to fear. We've seen that when we looked in our series in the book of Judges together a couple of years ago now. Do you know, and it's true of the church as well. The blessings of God should result in true fear of God. We should have the right sort of reverential fear. We sadly don't always see it in church today. We see something other than. You've heard it said, and I've heard it said on so many occasions, that we worship a God, the Lord God Almighty, not Almighty. There's this over-familiarity. We have an awesome privilege that we can come, as we said before, to call him our Father. But we should always still remember who he is. We should come in fear and trembling into his presence. And so as we close, just one or two things for us to consider. None of us deserve the blessings of God, but all the blessings stem from his grace. So therefore, as we pursue the true, pure ways of God, we will experience more of his blessings. As we push after him, as we move after him, as we recognize his grace and his blessings upon us, we will experience more. And as we experience more of those blessings, we should be glad, and we of all people should praise him. We should be a people who are filled with joy. I remember years ago, and forgive me for using this illustration again, and I'll probably use it again before I'm called to glory. But I remember on one occasion when we were in Israel, it was actually on Sabbath, on Shabbat, the Friday night, and this group of young people began to worship God. And they started singing and dancing, and then they came down these stairs and they went into that big massive square, you know, before the Wailing Wall where they pray, and there was hundreds of people there, and these young people, these young teenage men, they went in circles and they praised God and they rejoiced, and there was such joy and exuberance there. And you know what I couldn't help thinking about is that they didn't know Jesus as their Savior. They were still under the old covenant. They thought God had forgotten because the temple wasn't there, and yet they still praised God. They still worshipped and cried out to him. Folks, we have got so much more because of the salvation that has been ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have experienced the blessings of God, so we should be glad, and we should be those who are caught up in exuberant praise to him. And as we experience the blessings of God, it should be a witness to the greatness of our God as well. As we experience the blessings of God, we should bow in reverential fear. It should overflow to others, so that others not only would see the greatness of our God, not only others should see the blessings of our God, but they should bow in reverential fear before a holy God as well. Folks, the basis of this psalm to us tonight is clear, that God is a gracious God. And the basis of his grace, the basis of his blessings, is because of his great grace towards us. Therefore, we will praise him. Let the peoples praise him. O God, may all the peoples praise him. Amen.